Last week, Seiroji had to go out for a dental appointment. And at that time, Bilin Seiro had to give the Dhamma talk in Seiroji's place. And today, too, Seiroji had to go out for dental care. And because of that, Bilin Seiro is replacing him today. Now, it's already been quite some time that the yogis have been practicing. And before long, the retreat will be over. And the yogis are practicing, making effort. Bilin Seiro can see that when the yogis are practicing their sati, they are making effort to make their mindfulness stick to the object. And he's happy to see that. Needless to say, this is happening during the sitting. But in the walking and in the general activities, Seiro also sees that the yogis are applying a steadfast mindfulness. And to the extent that one makes effort, the yogis are fulfilling the samadhi, their samadhi. Knowledge, too, is being gained. And this is cause for happiness, and it is praiseworthy. So, therefore, those who are practicing with effort, they know to what extent they have gained samadhi. And in practice, he sees that most yogis have come to discern the separation of the distinction of nama and rupa, that there are these two mental and physical phenomena. And this is vipassana knowledge. And further, most yogis have come to see that these mental and physical phenomena arise due to causes, pass away due to causes. So this too is a form of vipassana knowledge. So the yogis are acquiring the dhammas of samadhi and panya, wisdom. And needless to say, sila is also being developed because people are keeping their physical behavior clean and pure. And furthermore, yogis are not speaking unnecessarily, so their verbal behavior is clean. Therefore, sila is being accomplished. So in the yogi's being, there is sila and samadhi to some extent, and pinya to some extent, wisdom. So how great a cause for happiness this is, how praiseworthy this is, it's cause to be very happy. Last week, Seiro spoke about the question of the deva, Himawata, the deva who lived in the Himalayas, and about the Buddha's answer. So the deva asked the Buddha, who in the world, who is it that crosses over the flood of samsara? What type of person is it that can cross the ocean of samsara, which is both deep and wide? And last week, Seiro finished the answer to that the Buddha gave to this question. So first of all, if one wants to cross over the floods of samsara, the first ability one needs is sabada sila sampanno. One has to have sila all the time. That is what Seiro mentioned last week. And the second quality, satima susamahito. One has to have sati, mindfulness, and also susamahito. The mind has to be well concentrated. One has to have well established samadhi. So this is what the Buddha said. For sati and samadhi to be present, there is also virya involved. Seattle mentioned this last week. And at present, the yogis are making effort to observe the arising object. And sati is being established firmly on the object so that the yogis are dwelling with their mind falling collectedly on the object. This is samadhi. One can't do without samadhi. Only if samadhi is there can one cross over to nibbana. So this is the second ability one needs. And the third ability that the Buddha described is ajata chinti. That means that one has to dwell observing what is happening inside one. One has to be observing the object that arises, that is obvious. And only if one observes the obvious arising object will one know correctly. So only looking at oneself can one know truly. What one imagines may not really be what is happening inside one. And looking outside one, too, one can't really know what is happening. Only when one looks inside oneself can one be sure of what is happening. One can see that there's stiffness or tension, relaxing, aches, pain, the happy mind, the unhappy mind. So these are things that really happen inside of one. And if one observes when they happen, one knows. Only if there is observation will one know. And that's why the Buddha said, ajata chinti. One has to, this type of knowledge that one develops by observing what happens within is not imaginary. And it's not just reflection. When one observes, one sees true nature. So one is knowing. This is panya. One knows the nature of mental phenomena, nama sabhava. One knows the nature of physical phenomena, or rupa sabhava. So one sees distinctly that these are two different things, and this is vipassana knowledge. When one observes what really happens inside of one, this knowledge is not general knowledge that one gains through hearsay. And it's not chintamiyajnana. It's not knowledge that is gained by reflection. It is bhavanamiyajnana, that is, knowledge that is born out of bhavana. Every time one notes, one sees that there is nama and rupa. One sees that there is the object to be observed and the mind which knows it. These two occur in pairs, and this becomes very clear to the yogi. In this, there's no atta, there's no I, there's no soul. None of these are there. There's just the object that is being observed and the mind observing it. Just rupa and nama. One knows this clearly. Due to vipassana knowledge, the false perception of soul or self, atta-deti or sakaya-deti, is removed. If one doesn't observe with vipassana to see nama and rupa, they appear to be self. This rupa and nama that occur within one. But when one observes, one knows clearly that there's just the object and the knowing mind. There's no self. So because of this knowing, the view of self, the false view of self, atta-deti, no longer arises. It's removed. Why is it removed? It's because one sees rupa and nama very clearly. So this is very important. Because of wrong view, deti, beings flow along in samsara. When one can remove this wrong view, it is great cause for happiness, and one is getting close to nibbana, to the other side. So the Buddha said, Satya viya umato, and then I didn't get the second line, sakaya dating pahanaya seto beku parepase. So the Buddha gave an example for how important it is for us to remove the false view of self. It's just as important as it is for someone who is being pierced in the head with a spear to remove it. If we're being pierced in the head with a spear, then if we think about who threw this spear and why did they do it, we'll be dead. So we have to pull the spear out immediately. And if one's whole body is on fire, can one think about why did the person start this fire? What chemical did they use or whatever? One can't think about it at all. One has to act immediately to put out the fire. So this is the example that the Buddha used for how important it is for us to remove the false view of self. So one has to work constantly, make effort constantly to kill sakaya deti, the view of self, the false view of self, with path knowledge. So how do we kill this false view? The Buddha said, sato beku. That means that the person who can kill sakaya deti, this false view, uses mindfulness, sati. And when he says sati, that means that virya and samadhi are also present. If one has virya, sati, and samadhi, then there will be knowledge too, vipassana knowledge. So when one sees nama and rupa clearly, one can remove the view of self, and this is what one has to work to do. If one doesn't see nama and rupa clearly and distinctly, then this view that there's a self, a soul, will persist. It will keep on, we will continue to hold this view. So we have to look at this false view as a fire that is burning one. So how important is it to put out the fire? Or how important is it to pull out a spear that is piercing one? There's no need to say. It's extremely important. And if we observe and develop vipassana knowledge, then this false view is removed, and one won't go to the apaya realms, to the lower realms. So the fact that people are know they need to make effort to bring this about is cause for happiness. Similarly, we see that there is nama and rupa. We see this clearly. But we don't yet know why they arise. They arise due to causes. Whether there's sitting or walking, standing, bending, stretching, whatever movement is made occurs due to the intention to stand, intention to walk, intention to stop, intention to sit, to bend, to stretch. If the desire to stop occurs, stopping and standing occurs. If there's the intention to sit down, sitting down occurs. If there's the intention to stand up, standing up occurs. So due to the mind, physicality or rupa occurs. And if we pay attention, we know this. So we know, too, that when there's a wholesome mind, the body, too, is wholesome. One can also see that wholesome mind brings about wholesome physicality. And because the observing mind is there, one is able to observe the object. So when one observes the body and mind, one sees how actions occur due to intention. One sees that there's not a person making the body go or making the body stop. It's the intention to go, to walk, that causes walking. It's the intention to stop that causes stopping. And that's one level of knowledge. And further, one sees that because of the eye, vision or seeing consciousness arises. Because of the visible form, too, seeing consciousness arises. So one sees that due to the physical elements, mental phenomena results. There's no one that makes us see. Not the Buddha, not a Deva, not a Brahma. These beings don't make seeing happen. Seeing happens due to its own causes. So knowledge arises. And this is the Vipassana knowledge of cause and effect. So one comes to see why it is that things arise, and there's no doubt when this knowledge arises. Before, one sees how results occur due to causes, one wondered, did God make this happen? Does someone make this happen? So when one doesn't see clearly how things happen due to causes, then one can't decide. One is in doubt about how do things really occur. And this inability to decide is called vichikicca. When there's vichikicca in the mind, one can't reach a decision. But when one sees the cause and effect relationships of mental and physical phenomena, one has no more doubt about how something occurs because one sees clearly the cause. So one sees that rupa and nama, the physical and the mental, occur due to their own causes. One comes to know the causal factors, and one comes to know the results. This is Vipassana knowledge. And when this Vipassana knowledge occurs, the wavering that is caused by vichikicca, skeptical doubt, does not occur. It is killed by panya, or wisdom. There are two types of knowledge or wisdom, supramundane, that is beyond the world, and worldly. This knowledge is worldly knowledge, vipassana knowledge. And if one doesn't overcome skeptical doubt or vichikicca, this wavering, one will float along in samsara. But when one comes to see causes and effects, one overcomes vichikicca. So one has to try to develop the knowledge of cause and effect. And when one sees this clearly, there's no more doubt. And this is the acquisition of Vipassana knowledge. The knowledge that is happening is because there is samadhi. So how long does nama and rupa stay as it is? Ordinarily, people think that they are there forever, that they arise and then they stay there. So, but when we observe with the practice of satipatthana, then when our faculties become strong and our knowledge becomes keen, with every noting, one sees that what arises due to causes falls apart due to causes. One sees that if we say in a very gross way, one sees that what one saw or one ate or smelled, heard, thought this morning is no longer there. So because of observation, one sees the true nature of phenomena. And further, one comes to see that it arises and then passes away. When one is observing stiffness and tension, one sees that there's stiffness and then it disappears. There's tension and then it disappears. So one sees that the things that have just arisen pass away, and then another thing arises and then passes away. So one sees clearly. Seeing clearly is panya, or wisdom, and this is vipassana knowledge. One will only come to see if one observes with focused attention. One won't come to see if one thinks or reflects about what one might be seeing. With focused attention, then, every noting, one sees that it arises and then passes away. And this is vipassana knowledge. Further, one sees that if something arises and then passes away, it is not permanent. So these things are impermanent. Whatever one sees, it arises and then passes away. It is impermanent phenomena. And it has the characteristic of being impermanent. So one comes to know its characteristic of arising and then passing away. The characteristic of the phenomena that one observes, the way they arise and pass away, is called anicca lakkhana. So one comes to know both the phenomena that is impermanent, and one also comes to know that they arise and pass away. And these things that arise and pass away aren't something that one can rely on. So one understands that these things, these phenomena that one observes also, are unsatisfactory, dukkha. And one sees, too, that these happen on their own. They just, as it disappears as soon as one observes it. So one can't order it to stay. One can't make the phenomena one observes not disappear. One can also not make them not arise. So we want good things to be permanent, but there's no mental or physical phenomena that is permanent. So we know this as it is happening. So we know its characteristic of being impermanent. And doing this, with every noting that we know the characteristics of impermanence, suffering, or non-self, one is crossing over the flood of sense pleasures, kama oga. One is crossing over the flood of desire for life. One is crossing the flood of wrong view, detoga. And one is crossing the flood of ignorance whenever there is a noting with knowledge. So if one can note for 1 second with knowledge, then that's 1 second of that one is getting across these floods. And if one can note with knowledge for 1 minute, then there's 1 minute in which one is able to cross over the flood. So if one continues, one will at last reach the noble path and fruition and realize Nibbana. So the Buddha said that the third ability needed for one to cross over the floods of samsara is one has to have panya, panya wa ogang tarati. The one who has worldly and supramundane wisdom, both these types of knowledge, crosses over the floods. So the Buddha said what abilities are needed to cross over, and we are working to develop these. So the first ability needed, as you know, it's sila. And the second, Sayadaw explained last week, is samadhi, So you know this. And the third ability needed is vipassana knowledge. And when vipassana knowledge comes to completion, then while we are observing, one will reach noble path, fruition, and nibbana. So this is the person who can cross over the floods, the one with these three abilities. One has to work to develop these abilities in oneself. So how we do this is we practice sila. To acquire the practice of sila, we practice samadhi. We practice making effort to observe the object, to develop mindfulness that sticks to the object and a collected mind. And thirdly, we work to develop knowledge. When virya, sati, and samadhi, the second ability, are acquired, then knowledge will develop. And then one will reach the other side while one is observing. One has to try to resist the flood and to keep on swimming, because otherwise one will just be carried along. So only when one can paddle, when one can fight one's way through the flood with knowledge, will one be able to cross over. The fact that people here are practicing to develop knowledge is cause for happiness and praise. So one who acquires these abilities can cross over the flood of samsara. The deva, Himawata, the deva from the Himalayas, asked further, who is it that does not sink in samsara? And the Buddha replied, Virato kama sanyaya sabha sanyojanadiko nandi bhava parekino so gambire nasidati. So the Buddha said that first of all, one has to avoid the perceptions that occur together with sense pleasures. Virato kama sanyaya. One has to avoid, refrain from this perception that is connected with sense pleasures. And second of all, sabha sanyojanadiko. That means that one has gone beyond all fetters, all ropes that bind. Beings are bound by these ropes, the mental factors called samyojanas. And one can't get free of them. One has to work to cut them, cut these ropes. So one has to cut the rope of kama, raga, sanyojana, that is, the taking delight in sense pleasures. And one has to cut off the rope called bhava raga, sanyojana, that is, the type of tie that binds us, the taking pleasure in life. So there are many types of these samyojanas, and we have to cut them, because if not, we're bound by them, and we will sink in samsara, which is deep. And third, the Buddha said, nanti bhava parekino, the one who ends delight in life has no more cause for a new life to occur. One who ends the quality of taking delight in being alive in lifetimes. So that one who has made an end of this type of delight is an arahant. The sotapanna, sakadagami, and anagami, people who are enlightened to some extent, are somewhat freed of these ropes, the samyojanas, but not completely. Only the arahant is the one that does not sink in the depth of samsara. This is what the Buddha said, and therefore one has to practice to cut off these ropes. Now, if one can't cut these ties that bind us, one wouldn't even be able to come here to the center to leave one's home behind and come here to the center. So we who are here are trying to cut these ropes, to make them thinner bit by bit. And Sero makes the wish that we be able to make effort to cut these so that we will not sink into the depth of samsara. May we be able to pull free of the floods, and that's which bind us. That's all for today.